You're listening to the Net Mums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show...
He was there in sort of dressed as one of the Three Musketeers and he had all this Gucci big shirt sleeves billowing. He was so full of himself and I thought, no. Our audience are nice people. They deserve better than this. And okay, you might be like a huge celebrity star and, you know, you've done all these films, but it doesn't cost to be polite and nice. And anybody who can't bring those simple skills to the table, I'm out. I'm like, no, sorry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Net Mums podcast. How's your week been, lovely Alison?
Oh, do you know what, Wendy? I feel like I'm walking on cloud nine. Is that a phrase? I think I've amalgamated two phrases there. I'm walking on air and I'm on cloud nine. Basically, we had parents' evening last night for my 14-year-old. And one of the teachers told me that I am doing an excellent job raising my teenager. And I nearly cried because I just feel like... It just made all of the door slamming and yelling and shouting at us and telling us that we're terrible parents. It made it all worthwhile. And I don't know, it balanced everything out. So I'm having a great week. How about you?
I'm very impressed. Well, it's all fun and games here. Spring is springing and I'm feeling like that makes everything better.
It does. Everyone's in a good mood when the sun shines. It's so weird, isn't it?
It is so weird. Now, let's have the showbiz intro, please, for our wonderful guest.
Well, today we're joined by TV presenter and mum of three, Alex Jones. Alex is, of course, best known for presenting The One Show, and she also hosts a brilliant podcast called Binge with McFly's Harry Judd. Alex, a warm welcome to the Net Mums podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's really lovely to see you both.
Good to see you.
Thank you for joining us. Now, before we start, a little birdie said that we might need to wish you happy birthday, because wasn't it your birthday yesterday?
It was indeed. And it was such a gorgeous day that instantly it was a good birthday. And we didn't do anything sort of in particular, but I had lunch with mum and dad. They happened to be here, which was a lovely treat. And then had some cake with the children in the evening and a glass of champagne. Perfect. Really lovely.
So are you someone who sees, do you think of getting older as a blessing or do you prefer not to think about it much?
I don't think about it too much, but you know, I think you also have to appreciate when you have another year, it's a huge gift. You know, touch wood, we're all healthy. And I'm really grateful for life, really. And, you know, I had the children quite old, older dinosaur mother. But, you know, I'm really grateful that myself and my husband are healthy. We can enjoy the children, touch wood, you know, mum and dad are healthy. I think when the going's good, you just feel super lucky to have another year. I mean, aging is not something to look on negatively, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, you say that everyone's healthy, but you've actually been having a bit of a tough time of it recently, haven't you, with broken bones and chicken pox in your house?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I've literally just come back from ballet. Sorry, that is the ring doorbell. I'll say it again.
That's okay.
We've literally just come back from ballet and we signed up, I think it was 5 weeks ago, because we're quite new to this area. So we've been looking for little classes and we found this lovely ballet class for Annie and we signed up. But sadly, we only made it to 1 week before she broke her arm and had chicken pox at the same time. So 3 weeks passed. So we made it this morning, which was lovely. And Miss Lucy, this really lovely ballet teacher, was like, "Hello, honey, we thought you weren't going to come back." I said, "It's been a drama." I said, "Wait for it." She broke her arm playing gladiators with her brother and then had chicken pox and she was plastered in it. So Kit, who's five, he had it, but it was quite mild. Annie honestly looked like a pizza. I mean, literally head to toe, full of scabs.
Oh, it's horrible.
Recognisable. And they were all inside the plaster cast. So the mat's really interesting.
Oh, the itching.
The itching.
did she have something to something to kind of like shove down it to itch?
Yeah, but then I was really worried that she was going to rip the scabs off by doing that. But a plaster cast, as we know, itchy anyway. Chicken pox, very itchy, so double itchy. So it's been 3 weeks, but we made it this morning and seeing a load of little three-year-olds doing ballet followed by a bit of tap was so joyful. I mean, so cute. And really, mums are not supposed to be in the class, but I stood in the stairwell kind of videoing the whole thing because it just hits you sometimes, doesn't it? She'll never be this little again. And it was wonderful. So I've rushed back and now I'm here with you guys. So that's lovely.
You've talked quite a lot in the past about becoming a mum slightly older and the joys of being called a geriatric mother by the NHS, which is always kind of them. Do you think waiting allowed you to sort out who Alex the person was before you became Alex the mum?
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I don't think, you know, there's all this chat about older mothers, but even in the last decade, I think it's changed so much. Most people are now having children in their 30s. So I don't feel that it's as much of a big deal anymore. And I always say it just happened the way it happened. I mean, there was no plan. You know, you don't sometimes know what's in store for you, which is the joy of life, obviously. But myself and my husband, we met, I mean, not late, really, in the grand scheme of things. We were 32, 33. And then by the time we'd got married and all of that, we just were where we were. But I am glad because I really appreciate having the children. I don't know. I just really love having them. I think I've got more patience now than I would have in maybe my late 20s, early 30s. You know, I do look at mum, and mum and I are very close, and she had me when she was 24. So mum and dad are still super active. They're very hands-on with the kids. And I think that won't be me. I mean, it might be. Who knows? But it probably won't be, you know, I won't be the same age, obviously, when my children, if we're lucky enough to have grandchildren, have children. But it just, it's just what happened. You know, mum didn't have the career she wanted. So there's always give and take. You know, nobody gets everything, but I'm really happy with where we are. I don't feel like an older mum. I mean, I was just talking to some women in ballet and they were like, oh, my God. There was a lady and she was in her early 40s and she's pregnant with her third. And she sort of said, oh, my God, you know, I went to the hospital this morning. They were like, oh, you know, you've got to be very careful. You're a geriatric mother. Oh. But actually, I mean, it's depressing. We know how to look after ourselves now. Yeah. There's a lot more information. We take a lot more vitamins. We're careful about what we eat. We exercise, in theory, a lot more. My big exercise year will be next year. I've decided that I'm just going to any morning where I can spend it with Annie, I'm going to. So if Pilates or Annie, I'm going to choose Annie. And next year I'll get on that train, but not now.
That's so nice.
You know, I'll walk for now and take Scout for a walk. But, you know, all of that, there'll be time for it when she's not around in the morning. But I just think we all know how to take care of ourselves. Mum says even, she says, you know, I looked older than you did when I was 30 because it was just the fashion was different. We didn't know how to look after ourselves. So I feel like, yes, OK, on paper we're older, but really it's much of a muchness.
Yeah. It's all about the attitude, isn't it? Now, it sounds like you're having a lovely time of it, you know, hanging out with Annie and going to ballet classes. I mean, chicken pox and broken bones aside. But, you know, I always see that kind of preschool period as being like really in the trenches of parenthood. Do you feel like you're kind of getting to the end of that really tough phase of parenting now that Annie is three, or do you still feel like you're right in the thick of it?
I think it changes, doesn't it? You know, every stage requires something different from you. So Annie's three, Kit's five, Ted's eight. Scout is also a Labrador puppy, so he was an addition that I didn't see coming. So it is like four children.
Surprise baby.
It sort of gets easier in that, you know, Annie still needs help with dressing, as does Kit, and Ted is just a bit lazy and just wants me to put his socks on, even though he's perfectly capable. But, you know, it's still quite physical, but it does change. But what the boys need now is, you know, there's more clubs, there's more running around. So it is easy in one way, but I think every stage has its own challenges. And if you want to be involved, if you want to be there as much as you can, it's not that it's easy or hard. It's just full on, isn't it? You know, but I really simplify it in my mind because I think I'm a full-time working mum. I want to be a full-time mum as well. And this is the problem, I can't be. But I've made a decision to be there as much as I can. So with me, it's very simple. I'm either in work or I'm with the children. And that could be deemed unhealthy by some people because I don't do a lot socially. I try and squeeze the odd thing in. But for me, if it's ever a choice, I'd rather be here because these years are going to fly by. And I'm lucky because I enjoy my work. It's not a chore. So I feel like I've got quite a good balance. You know, I see the girls in work and we're all friends. We all had children at the same time. We've worked together for 15 years. So they are my mates as well. So I see them every day and then I come home and I just keep it simple. As I said about the exercise, I'm not doing it this year because I've got Annie and it's my last one.
But it's a great attitude to have. I really love it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't work for everybody, but that's... it's the only way I find I can work things at the minute.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned your gorgeous Labrador puppy, Scout. And what is this that we hear about you having a new kitten that you got from Richard Curtis? Is that a thing?
It is a thing. So last week, so I've known Richard and his wife Emma for a long time because I've done quite a lot for Comic Relief and Sport Relief over the years. And Richard came onto the podcast because obviously it's Comic Relief this Friday. I don't know when this is going out, so I'll say it's Comic Relief very soon. And he came on to talk about it. And just before he left, he went, oh, just one thing. Now, we've got this little kitten and she needs a home because Ruby Wax has pulled out. And I said, what?
How funny.
And I said, no, Richard, no more. Because we've got Scout and I don't know how he'll react. And he said, no. It's better if you get them both when they're super young. So I sort of said, oh, all right then. I could see there was some method to the madness, but I was absolutely no. And he said, well, just, you know, send it to Charlie, see what he thinks. Mistake. So I sent it to my husband. He instantly went, oh my goodness. I mean, who is she? Can we have her? And of course, then I showed it the picture of Sabrina, the kitten, to my children. And
no, you were never going back from that, let's be honest, once you've shown the kids.
No, the deal is done.
We were never going back. So we are now at capacity. The B&B is absolutely full, chock-a-block, no vacancy sign is going on the window. That's it.
Is it a ragdoll cat that you're getting?
No. She's a little tabby. She's happy. really cute, but we collect her this weekend. So the children can barely sleep. How many sleeps until Sabrina? Now, we didn't name her. Emma had already named her because Emma, Richard's wife, loves the Archers. And that's one of the main characters in it. Because Teddy was beside himself. He said, I'm not calling her Sabrina, like Sabrina Carpenter. I said, what do you know about Sabrina Carpenter anyway? And he said, I hate Sabrina Carpenter. And I said, well, she's not named after Sabrina Carpenter. And Annie can't say Sabrina, so she's Brina.
So well, if you're our age, it's Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Do you remember?
Well, exactly. I think it's quite a nice name for a pretty little kitten, but we'll see whether that stays.
Who's easiest to look after, the kids or the pets?
Neither. I mean, they put both pretty demanding. But I think, I tell you what, I was really dead against having a puppy when the children were this young. But it has been an absolute game changer. The the Scout is such a kind little dog, but it's been really encouraging how the children have had to learn how to look after him, a sense of responsibility. I really like that, and it encourages us to get out as a family, which is something that's really important to us. So actually, I won't tell Charlie, but it's been a really positive thing for us, and I absolutely adore him.
We won't tell anyone, don't worry, it's a secret. Now, who or what is your go-to for parenting advice? So when there's something happening and you're not really sure how to handle it, is there an expert or a book that you love? I mean, clearly we know you must look at Knit Mums, but aside from that, who's your go-to?
I think, I mean, my main always go-to for anything is my own mum. I think she was an incredibly good mother. She was very, very loving, but there was no nonsense. And she taught us a really strong work ethic. She made us, you know, ambitious. She wanted us to do well. She lost her mum when she was very young. And I think she piled all her energy into raising her two girls, myself and my sister. And although it's a different time, I guess, mum is she's really modern. She's, you know, always immaculate, mum. So when we were little, she'd grab myself and my sister if there were school photos and she'd say, come here in the bathroom. And she'd get her M&S blusher palette out and she'd be like, right, to you. I'm not having my girls looking ill in the
not
photos.
Not looking pasty.
And something about school photos, they always look a little bit queasy in the school photos. Yeah. I don't know if it's
It drains you.
Yeah, they're like pallid.
So, so mum was, and she's great for advice. And she really, you know, when I told her I was pregnant with Ted, and her and Dad were just so over the moon, but she never put any pressure. She said, you must do what you think. And it would be amazing, but equally, it's amazing if you choose to have a life just the two of you. I mean, children were always in the plan, but there was no pressure, zero pressure from her. And of course, they're delighted now. They've got 5 grandchildren, but they are, her and Dad are both super hands-on with all of the grandchildren. And so if there's anything I'm ever thinking, oh, have I done the right thing? And we all have that, don't we? We all question ourselves daily. You know, there are some mornings we try and have a calm household in the morning here because I really want them to go to school feeling happy. But of course, not every morning works out like that. And you end up going, just put your shoes on. And then you feel awful that that's the last thing that you've said to them, you know? Yeah. I mean, there's always a kiss and a cuddle before they go. And then I'll say to mum later in the day, oh God, you know, I shouted this morning at the children. And she'll say, Alex, me and Dad shouted every day at you two because we were in our 20s and, you know, we were a lot younger. We didn't have the experience and the patience that you have. She said, don't worry about it. You know, she said, did you apologise? Oh, yes. And she said, well, there you are then. That's a good
lesson.
That's the
key thing, isn't it? I've heard so many experts talking about the repair, so rupture and repair. So it's fine to, I mean, it's not fine to do the shouting, but we all shout, we all lose it, you know, with our kids from time to time. That's okay. It's the apology afterwards. That's the important bit. As long as you get that right, then you're fine.
Yeah, and we do that, you know, we all do that to each other. And the kids actually are pretty good, you know, even if they've had a huge meltdown, Ted will often come and he'll say, oh, I'm sorry, Mama, without any sort of us pestering him. So I think if they see you do it, they will often follow suit. That seems to have worked with us. But I mean, you know, we've all gone through the day feeling sick, feeling I can't wait to get home and just make sure that they're okay. And I'll say, was your day okay? Yeah, it was great. And you think, oh, God, what have I been beating myself up about all day.
Yeah, they literally haven't even thought about it once.
No, exactly.
Now, you moved to the countryside last year, didn't you? To, I'm guessing, a bigger property, which is just as well, considering the number of kids and the number of pets you now have. And you're renovating your new house, aren't you? So I'd really like to know how that's going and if you are yet at the stage where you're regretting your life choices.
Well, I countryside, now, if If my husband heard us have this conversation, he'd be rolling around laughing. He said, because as he keeps telling me, we're 25 minutes away from Chiswick, Alex. How can this possibly be the countryside? But it feels a lot more rural because, you know, we're surrounded by actually lovely places where you can walk. And it's been a game changer. I was the one who was a little bit reticent to move because I really liked our life. I'd made a lot of friends. My best friends were my NCT gang, still are, you know. I mean, obviously, my best friends are uni girls, etc. But since we've come to London, we just... I think when you go through having babies with a gang, you know, there's always going to be a glue there that holds you together. Yeah. And they're great girls, all from different parts of the world. But they were just, you know, and then all the children went to the same school. And so we had a nice little gang and I was super happy, you know. But we always thought about moving out and we just looked at it. And from a practical point of view, we thought, well, we need to do it before the children are too old where it'll get harder. So we looked for 4 years for a house and we looked at different areas. And I think it is difficult because lots of our friends were having the same conversations. But, you know, mum and dad are in Cardiff. My husband's parents are in Auckland. So we didn't have anywhere that was sort of pulling us towards it. It was just basically, well, where's not too far from London? And in the end, we found this house, which is lovely. It's got a lovely soul, but potential. That word, potential.
That word.
Yes, it's in a lovely way. And I feel bad being dismissive of it because we feel really lucky to have the house. But it's a little bit care home. You know?
Right. Yes. Yes. Gotcha.
A little bit. But it's got lovely bones and a lovely feel. And it felt like home from the very beginning, which is lovely. But for the children, it's been an absolute game changer. They stopped coughing. I didn't realise it was a thing. But in London, they'd always have this cough and it would linger. Wow. And that stopped. You know, we've got two very active boys. Annie, I'm sure, well, she follows them. So she's pretty active as well. My, you know, I don't know if she'll be as obsessed with football and rugby as they are. But they just, they like two puppies. They need to run. And now we can sit in the garden and they can run and, you know, fill hours outside, which is wonderful to see. So we haven't looked back, really. We love it. And as I say, it's still quite close. So you can do the things that we enjoyed and then come out a bit and have that sort of separation.
Yeah.
Which in a way is quite healthy because I work in central London every day. So it's quite nice to have this being home and then that being work, you know. So it's worked for us. But I mean, it's not to say that it's not a big move, you know, moving the boys to different schools. It took a lot of planning and a lot of head work. And when you're trying to do a full-time job, but you're trying to settle them in schools, and of course your heart is with them, and all day I was thinking, God, are they okay? Are they making friends? You know, it's been quite a full-on few months, but actually it's been 100% worth it, is our experience. Yeah, it's been great.
Well, you talk about having a full-time job, but you also have a podcast with Harry doing the Beach podcast, which we love because I just find what to watch and read and listen to so overwhelming. And so I love it that you're like, okay, well, this is good. Try this. And it's just done for me. Do you love making it?
I think I love making it. Harry and I have parallel lives. So we both have three children and Annie and Lockie, his youngest, used to go to the same playgroups because we lived not far from each other in Chiswick in West London. And we've both got a black lab as well. So it's hilarious. So I'm trying to convince Harry now that he needs a kitten. He was like, absolutely not. But it's Harry and I knew each other because we did Strictly Together back in... Oh, my God, 2011. He's just such a nice boy. He's easy to get on with. And we came to this podcast because a lot of people had been saying for ages, why don't you just do a podcast? And I said, well, there are so many brilliant ones out there. I don't think there's any point doing something for the sake of it unless it sort of answers a problem or, you know. And then this idea came. And actually, because I'm home quite late every night, there's that precious hour and a half where we've got to watch something together. And Harry sort of felt the same, you know, by the time you've got the children to bed, it is sort of a golden window of opportunity to watch something. Yeah. And we found that if you're, you know, if you're sat there looking through Netflix, BBC iPlayer, you know, Apple, all the different platforms, watching trailers, before you know it, you go, oh, well, it's a bit late now, isn't it?
There's your hour and a half.
Should we go out?
Yeah, gone.
So we thought, well, what about a podcast? And we are no way, you know, proper telly reviewers, you know, we're not those people. But we're just parents who are looking for good stuff to watch and to use that time wisely. So we thought, well, why don't we have some guests on and they can talk about what they're watching? You know, it's the chat we all have in work, isn't it? Oh, my God, have you seen dot, dot, dot?
Yes.
And you kind of just want it boiled down into, right, I know what we're going to watch because I heard these people talking about it and it sounds good. So we thought, well, that feels like it's answering a problem. And so that's how it started. And, I mean, we just talk about being parents a lot, you know. Telly is kind of the vehicle that holds it together, but there's a lot of other chat in there.
there is, yeah. And,
you know, and we've had some lovely guests, and it just feels easy. And I think if something feels easy and fun, it's probably a good thing to keep going with it. You know, we just love doing it.
That's so true. And you spoke this week, didn't you, about adolescence? And no spoilers, because I've only watched the first two episodes, but isn't it just a television masterpiece?
I haven't dared watch it. I think it might scar me.
You have to watch it, Wendy.
Wendy, I think it's worth a bit of scarring, dare I say.
I just love the fact it's like you've got Tinkerbell in the background.
Sorry.
I know, I love it. Is that Tinkerbell? Kylie's just fleeting around behind you.
Yeah. I think that is Scout running past the door and I don't know how to turn it off. Great.
Don't worry, it's Tinkerbell. It's fun.
It's Tinkerbell. But with adolescence, we had a preview because Stephen Graham, who is kind of the brains behind it and one of the main actors, was coming on with the boy that's in it. Now, this boy plays 13. He's 15 in real life. He's called Owen Cooper. He's 15, yeah.
Wow.
So they were coming on, so we have a preview sort of service that we can watch things and we often have to before the one show. And so I watched it with my husband. Well, we couldn't... The thing is, because it's all done in this one shot, which they've talked a lot about, but you're sitting there thinking, how on earth have they managed this? Yeah. But it's also so uncomfortable because it's in real time. You can't look away. But the thing about it is, I think it does a really important job because, of course, it is drama. But it comes off the back of Stephen hearing all these stories in the news about teenagers getting sucked into social media and then the fallout of that on themselves, on their families. And I actually think it's an important bit of television because it makes you sit there and go, shit, this could happen to us. This could easily happen to us. And I think he's opened a conversation that was already there, but it's really brought it into our, you know, into the forefront of our minds, I think. And it is a hard watch. It's not an easy watch, but it's a worthwhile watch, A, because of the quality of the performances and the way that it's shot, but I think also because it really reminds us of what social media could be doing to our teenagers, I think.
Did it prompt those conversations? I know your kids are a bit smaller, but did you have those conversations at home after you'd watched it? Were you like, oh, my God, okay.
Yeah, I'm terrified. I mean, I am terrified of phones. And the thing is, it's hard because it's a really big part of my job. But I am terrified of getting to that point where they, you know, sort of 11, 12, 13, wanting a phone. So actually, kids' school are doing a talk on Friday morning about smartphones. There's this company that you can get to come into the school, and they'd originally put it on for year four. But it was so good that some of the parents there said, look, can you not get them back and open it up to all the parents? So we're actually going to that on Friday. I don't know what we do and how we navigate it. It's like a Wild West.
None of us do. That's the point. You know, it's just, we're all just winging this.
I heard a quote. Somebody was saying, somebody from one of these big tech companies who used to work there and actually has removed herself because she can see the damage she's doing. And she said, in 20 years' time, we are going to look back and go, what were we thinking? What were we doing? But I don't think any of us are at fault, because it's landed, hasn't it? And it's just happened. And it seems to have just, there you are, and it's gone mad. And it's not just children, parents. We're all like this. And if they're seeing us do it, then they think, well, that's what we all should be doing. You know, I really try in the house. I leave my phone upstairs. I don't want them to see me sit there scrolling aimlessly, because we all know that we can fall down that rabbit hole. But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm terrified of it.
Yeah. So other than adolescence, if you had to recommend one thing to our listeners to watch and listen to and a book to read, what would those recommendations be?
So I think, oh my God, favourite series, so hard, but I loved Daisy Jones and the Six.
That was good.
I just thought that it had it all for me. Like, it was sort of the story of Fleetwood Mac, I guess. But the costumes were so brilliant. The performances, Elvis's daughter, isn't it, isn't she? And
yes, yeah.
Sam Claflin, who plays sort of the male lead in it. They were so brilliant. And I listened, my friend and I, Liz, who's my makeup artist, we listened to that soundtrack like teenagers for weeks afterwards, because we could not move on. That is a toss-up for me between that and Normal People in my all-time favourite.
Yeah, that was good.
You know? But I think Daisy Jones and the Six, if I had to choose one. Books, oh my goodness, I love reading. When is the time? But I do try and read every night before I go to sleep, because I find that looking at my phone, I just don't sleep at all. And I tell you what I've read recently, which was brilliant, was a book called All Fours by Miranda July. Is that what she's called? Yeah, Miranda July. And it's about a woman getting to a certain age and just losing the plot. I could identify. I can't identify with exactly what she did, because that's quite extreme. But it's really good. It's about a woman basically getting to her mid-40s and the wheels come off, and she decides that she's going to go on this road trip. But she actually gets 20 minutes down the road and moves into this motel, and her husband thinks she's doing this big road trip. But actually, she's in this motel and she gets this interior designer in to redesign it. It's mad, but it's brilliant. So that would be a big recommendation. And then what else did we say? Podcast.
Binge.
I love so many different podcasts. I mean, I love Elizabeth Day's podcast. I do love the Therapy Crouch for just fun.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But you know what I like? Because I'm into interiors at the minute, because we do in the house. I really like a podcast called The Ins and Outs, which is an interior designer and a garden designer. And they basically answer questions about the inside and the outside. And so they have a little bit of a chat about their week. And then they go, OK, well, let's start with some questions from innies. And innies will be like, OK, I've got this window and I want to know whether I should do a Roman blind or a curtain. And then they just go into why you should have Roman blinds, what type of windows, and then they'll go out to the garden, what you should be planting in spring.
Nice.
I mean, I am literally a granny. That is my idea.
No,
of heaven.
I love that. That's fab.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you get to the age where you like a garden centre that has a nice coffee shop.
Oh, that's the dream.
You know, it's game over.
And a nice scone. That's the dream.
And that lets the dog come too, even better.
Yeah. See, that's where I am, and I don't mind that at all. I think this is the best stage of life so far.
So I think we've all got something that we've watched or read that we've kind of thought, oh, God, that's a bit of my life I'm not going to get back. My husband made me watch something on Apple TV called Severance last...
Oh, Wendy, it's amazing. Do not tell me you don't like Severance.
I hated it.
What?
I was bored.
Don't say that, Wendy.
Severance is... amazing.
So, we have one of the actors coming on the podcast.
And okay.
We've got one of the actors. Oh, well, no, we've got Ben Stiller, who I believe wrote it.
He's
coming on the One Show. So I cannot get out of this. I have to start it tonight.
Okay. It's so good.
Series one is okay. Series two is like pulling teeth.
Alex, it is one of the best series that I've ever seen.
You've got to watch it. How subjective.
It's like having an angel and a devil on my shoulder. It's so good. It's so bad.
So good. But that's funny how subjective all of it is, because I was really bored by it. My husband absolutely loved it. Alison loves it. So, but do you have anything like that where you've gone like, oh, God, I just wish I'd never started? Because once I've started, I have to finish, because otherwise it feels wrong.
Well, I mean, considering I do a podcast about television and films and books, I mean, it's ironic, really, because I've hated a lot of the series that everybody else has raved about.
Really?
Because I get really overwhelmed if there are seasons and seasons. I think, is life too short?
No, I'm totally like you. If it's got four seasons, I'm like, oh, God, I don't think I've got that in me.
Well, we started Yellowstone. Now, this is controversial.
Oh, now I might have to have a fight with you, Alex.
Well, so, we did four, right? And I was really excited about it because the first person who told me it was brilliant was Ronan Keating. Now, Ronan Keating also loved Daisy Jones and the Six, loved. So I was like, well, he suggested that, so this is going to be great. And I sort of forgot about it. And then people would come on the podcast and they would be like, oh, Yellowstone's amazing. I think it's a classic thing of they overdid it. They oversold it. And then when it got to it, I'd find myself on like the school WhatsApp and answering bits. And I thought, oh, is it me? I'm not really watching. And Charlie's like loving life at this point. He's like, cowboys, shooting, horses, amazing. And I just couldn't get into it.
I'm with you, Alex. I couldn't get into it either. I think I only did one episode and I was like...
I loved it. See, this is, again, isn't it?
Yeah.
How subjective. I'm obviously just weird compared to you two.
Well, no,
yeah,
but
we're
then
right,
I also said in the first few episodes, and probably we probably lost a lot of listeners at that point, but I also said that Succession was a bit meh. Like, it was fine, but it was fine, and I quite enjoyed the fourth series. But I used to have the subtitles on. I was like, what is going on? There's so much dialogue here that I'm going to need help. So I had to have subtitles on like a complete granny. And then I kind of got what was happening. And I thought the last season was brilliant. But the last episode towards the end, I was like, oh, there we are then. I mean, after all that investment, I was hoping for something better.
I think you and me are TV twins, Alex, because I didn't really rate Succession either. So I think
really
we're TV
liked
twins.
I wouldn't say I didn't like it. I did like it. And I appreciate it. It was a good bit of television. But, you know, and the other one, what the heck is it called? Charlie's dancing in front of the window now. The other one was, what's it called now? It's got that lovely man in it. God, he's lovely. What's he called?
You're not helping.
So it's about, oh my God, his name is Walter in it. Walter.
Oh, Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Well, I mean, we did season 1, 2, and 3, really enjoyed it. And then I just lost the thread. I was like, are we still going with this?
It got quite grim, didn't it?
I think sometimes they get another season when really it should have ended. They did that with Ozark as well, I think.
Well, I think it's that thing of know when to walk away. Go out on a high. And I think they kind of sometimes stretch these things out. You know, with some of my favourites, Big Little Lies, loved that.
Love that.
But I wanted more, but there wasn't. And I think that's a good end. Leave it there. You know, sometimes I'm overwhelmed by 7 seasons. And I think, no thanks. No thanks.
Yeah. Now, finally, Alex, you've interviewed so many incredible people on The One Show. What has been your biggest standout moment over the years?
Well, it's an interesting question because, you know, people, I think, assume that, you know, it must be amazing to have these big Hollywood actors. And it's fine. It's fine. But I really like when we have kind of British homegrown talent. They know the show, they know the atmosphere, and they give really good interviews as a result. You know, we've had people on that are big Hollywood stars. I mean, last week we had Robert De Niro, and he was lovely, but he was lovely afterwards. He was a little bit like, oh my God, this is live. And that's the thing about actors. They don't like being themselves. They often get quite nervous. There are some who are brilliant, obviously, and they're very relaxed. But a lot of them, you know, that's why they're actors. And when they have to promote the film, they get into a panic, you know, and the interview can be a little bit sort of staccato and it doesn't really flow. But standout moments have been, I think, Jared Leto. I hope he's not listening to Netmum's podcast.
I doubt he's a regular listener.
You never know. But he was there in sort of dressed as one of the Three Musketeers, and he had all this, like, I don't know,
swoon.
Gucci big shirt, sleeves, billowing. And he was, I mean, he was so full of himself. And I thought, no. Our audience are nice people. And they deserve better than this. And okay, you might be like a huge celebrity star and, you know, you've done all these films. But it doesn't cost to be polite and nice.
Very true.
And anybody who can't bring those simple skills to the table, I'm out. I'm like, no, sorry, you've not been brought up well then. I mean, I like the moments where things go wrong. Like we had a Cyberman who fainted. That was great.
And that sounds good.
I mean, not for him, but happened to be the head of the NHS was also on the show. So, I mean, it was like synergy, like lovely, because he was then helping this guy who'd passed out. He was perfect. Amazing. And we've had some funny moments. I mean, when I started, I remember we had a Dalek on the show because it was like a big Doctor Who anniversary and the Dalek couldn't fit through the studio door and we were just weak because it was all built around this Dalek. And then suddenly the Dalek was like, it was coming forward, but it couldn't quite squeeze in. Like, live television is brilliant and keeps you vital. And I'm still so grateful and sort of just amazed that I'm still there. You know, not a day is the same. And I'll be going to work in a minute. I'm excited to see the team and, you know, craft tonight's show and put it all together. It's a lovely job to be in. But when things go wrong, it's really good fun, you know, because there's a bit of jeopardy.
Oh, Alex, it's been such a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you for coming and talking about dogs and kids and telly and all the fun things with us. We've loved having you on.
Oh, I've really loved it. Thank you so much. And congratulations on this podcast. I mean, it is one. It's such a good one for parents. Makes you feel a little bit calmer and more normal.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much, Alex.
That's all right. Thank you. Pleasure.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on all social channels, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Just type in Netmoms and you'll find us. And if you liked what you've heard today, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating, press the follow button and share the podcast on all your socials.